Okay, our shiur tonight is sponsored by Barbara Brightstein in memory of her grandfather Shlomo ben Yishai Lezer, Alav Shalom, as well as in memory of her cousin Yisrael Pinchas ben Shimshon, Alav Shalom, and her brother-in-law Aaron ben Tzvi HaKohen, Alav Shalom, on the occasion of their respective yahrzeits sites. In the zchus of our learning tonight, may indeed their neshamas have an aliyah. Did I miss something,
Amen.
Barbara?
No, I'm just. It was Zev's yard tonight also, so we could say for Zev ben Avraham also.
Zev ben Avraham. Okay, our learning is for Zev ben Avraham as well. Okay, so folks, let's open up our Nevi'im to Perek Tes. The topic of tonight's shiur is called King Shaul, qualifications. For I'm just opening it up while I'm in front of you. Shaul, qualifications for kingship and catastrophe. So let's just get the Navi open here. Okay. Shmuel Perek Tes. Okay, so we're going to read through the Psukim, and as we're reading through the Psukim, I'd like you to keep an eye open to the question of what are the criteria for kingship that we see in Shaul? And I think, and it's not just me, but I would argue that the purpose of this perek here is to outline for us, is to present for us why Shaul is indeed chosen to be king. He has certain qualifications. And the question is, what are those qualifications? So let us dive right into it. And as I said, try to keep an eye as we're reading through the Psukim to that question. How many criteria or how many qualifications can we pick up on? Vayehi ish mi ben Yamin or mi bin Yamin, ushmo Kish ben Aviel ben Tzur ben Bechoras ben Afiach ben Ish Yamini Gibor Chayil. Right. So right here in our opening pasuk. There was a man from Binyamin. His name was Kish, the son of Aviel, then Tzur, Bechoras, Afiach, Ben Ish, Yamini, and he was a Gibor Chayil. So right off the bat, we have here some biography, ancestry, for Shaul. For Shaul, Shaul is the son. excuse me, Velohaya Bein Ushmo Shaul. So this individual. Kish had a son, and his son was Shaul. So, in this opening pasuk already, the Mepharshim say why note that the pasuk itself already gives us insight into Shaul. So, what is the insight that we're given regarding Shaul? So, what factoids or would you pick out from this pasuk? Go ahead, anybody?
His lineage was distinguished.
All right, so number one, he had distinguished lineage, what we would call today yichus. And I guess that's appropriate for a king. It's good for a king to have yichus. People will respect him. All right, what else? Anything else?
Well, we didn't get to Shaul yet. This was
We're
just
reading
about his.
we're reading about in this first pasuk. Is there anything that you can glean in this pasuk, assuming that this pasuk gives us some insight to Shaul. Is there anything else here?
Gibor Chayil.
He was a Gibor Chayil. So he had Yichus, and the Yichus that he had was a person, a father who was a Gibor Chayil, a man of courage, a military man. So Shaul comes from from stock, that has both Yichus in the sense of, respect and significance. But he also comes from a family of Gibor Chayil. And, it's not in your DNA necessarily, but it certainly can influence the person. I remember a friend of mine years ago, maybe 25 years ago, was interviewing for a position to be a principal, a founding principal, no less, of a yeshiva high school. So he was interviewing for the position. And he was really just a few years out of smicha. He had been teaching for a few years, a capable fellow, no doubt. And they asked him at the interview, you know, what experience do you have? And he said, well, my grandfather was a principal, my father was a principal, and this has, you know, been in the air and the food and everything in our house has just been, you know, that's the mother's milk that I've been fed my whole life. So it's not necessarily going to, you know, translate into impacting, but it certainly can impact the individual. And clearly, I think what the Navi is telling us here, by giving us this broad introduction, is because it doesn't really make a difference that Kish was an Ish, it was a Gibor Chayil. I mean, spoiler alert, if you read the rest of the parak, it really doesn't make a difference whether he was a Gibor Chayil or not a Gibor Chayil. But what does make a difference is what it tells us a little bit about Shaul. I want to share with you my screen.
Why does it say, or refer to Benjamin or Binyamin, Ishimi, twice in the pasuk?
Okay, good question. I'm going to share my screen with you. And we may touch on that in a moment. We may not get to it, but let's see. Okay, so here you have the Malbim on the right-hand side of your screen. Everybody see that? Okay.
Well, I'm on the telephone, so I hear you.
Okay, I will read aloud for those who are on the phone and for those who have a screen in front of them. Vayhi zecher hasibot shebavuram bachar Hashem b'Shaul. Zachar, excuse me. The Malbim is telling us here that this pasuk is not there by accident, and it's not simply an introductory pasuk, but it's telling us something about Shaul, reasons why Shaul was picked. Aleph, mitzad yichus. So she'aviv haya shmo Kish ben Aviel. His yichus, he had great yichus. His father was Kish ben Aviel. In Divrei Hayamim, Perek Aleph, Perek Ches, Pasuk Nun Gimel, the Torah, the Navi says, or the Pasuk says, Amar Ner Holid Es Kish. Ner was the father of Kish. Contrast that with our Pasuk, it says Aviel is the father of Kish. Uperish Chachameinu, Pirshu Chachameinu, our Chachamim explained, Zichronim Levracha, Shela Aviel Hayukarim Lo Ner. Aviel had a nickname or another name, and they referred to him as Ner. Why did they refer to him as Ner? Al Shehaya Madlik Neros Larabim B'Mavuos Ha'afelos. That Kish's father, Aviel, would take candles and he would light up the dark alleyways so people would be able to see and walk without problem. Vize Ostov Midosav. And this is a really wonderful character trait that he had to do something on behalf of the general population, a very altruistic, generous act. And similarly, Kish was a Gibor Chayil. Ugvuras Ha'av Tolid Gvura Bebein. So I think you can say a couple of things here. That Shaul comes from a grandfather who was a person who was of extraordinary chesed. He was a ner, he was a light. And what is the characteristic of a king? A king has to be able to inspire, and not just to provide light as an inspiration, but to provide light most literally. He has to provide for the needs of the people. A king is not about himself. A king is supposed to be in service of the people. And similarly, Kish himself was a Gibor Chayil, just as his father was. Ugvura sa'av tolid gvura labein. And this, and maybe gvura, maybe we're talking here about physical gvura, and that can go down in the DNA from generation to generation. Okay, so first the qualifications for a king is somebody who has great yichus. And when we say great yichus, at least according to the Malbim, it doesn't just mean people of, you know, of significance and renown, but he has a yichus of Baal Chesed. That's in his Aviel, his grandfather, was a ner, was a light, and a gibor chayil. Okay, v'lo haya ben u'shmo Shaul, and Kish had a son, and his name was Shaul, bachur vatov, ve'ein ish mibnei Yisrael tov mimenu. So let's translate this pasuk here. He was bachur vatov. He was young and good, and choice and good. The ein ish mibnei Yisrael tov mimenu. There was nobody better than he. Nobody better than he. He was an amazing, young, choice, good person. Mishichmo v'amala, from his shoulders and upwards, gavo amikolam. He was head and shoulders above everyone. Now, that can be understood literally. It can be understood figuratively. But the Navi goes out of its way to say he was bachor, tov, nobody was better than him. I mean, those are a lot of words. Those are a lot of words to say that he was that he was good, and he was physically good looking. He was good and good character as well. Again, I draw our attention to the Malbim. The lo mitzad shaul atzmo shahaya shalem. Shaul was a fully synthesized, harmonious, well balanced person. Shalem bein b'midosav hanafshios. He had good character traits. He had good character. Shahaya bachor vatov ratzalomar hagam shahaya bachor bishanim. Not only was he young and excellent in years. Resichas damo. He was a good, hot, red-blooded American male, right? Without the word American, right? He was a hot-blooded, young man, and all that implies. Hormones raging. I don't know that the Malbim knew about raging hormones, but he understood what it meant to say resichas damo. Lo shakta. His blood was not quiet. He had a lot of energy. And even though he had all that going on, he was still good with Hashem. So that explains our pasuk says he was bachor vatov, ve'einish mibnei Yisrael tov mimenu. He was bachor, young, tov, and good. He was shalom with Hashem, even as he had very, very powerful physical things going on. And he was a hot-blooded guy. One second, let me just go on. The lonim shachle tavosav, and even though he had raging hormones, he didn't succumb to them. Ad shelo haya ish mibnei Yisrael gam bein hazikenim liyamim tov mimenu. There was nobody who was better than him in terms of midos, in terms of behavior and moral character. V'chein haya sholem b'taro v'yofyo. He was beautiful. He was handsome. He was attractive. His head and shoulders above everybody, physically. He was really a specimen to behold. He was a strong, strapping, young, powerful, man with desires. He was the whole package physically, and at the same time, and this is what the Navi is pointing out here, according to the Malbim, Bachor Vatov, Ein Ish Mibnei Yisrael Tov Mimenu, nobody greater than him. Ad Shehaya Miyuchad Begvura Mitzad Aviv, Uvitov Hamidos Uvitov Hakoma Viatzliach Lemelucha. So here we have another character, another description of Shaul that is a proper criteria for kingship. Right, can't be weak physically, spiritually, and the flip side of that is a king is somebody who is both who does not deny his physical traits. Indeed, he has to lead the people in war. He's got to be strong, right? And apparently, being good looking is also good for a king. People, unfortunately, we respect good looks. That's the human condition, right? I once had a professor at YU in one of my Judaic studies, one of my Tanakh classes. I don't remember the context, but he made the point that people sometimes, maybe even often, give the benefit of the doubt to a good-looking person. They don't give the benefit of the doubt to somebody who is popularly considered to have ugly physical traits. Just the way of the world. So this is also a criteria of a king, okay? And he managed this with aplomb, right? He had these great physical traits, but it did not minimize it. In fact, maybe that's part of what made his spiritual traits great as well. Now we don't know this from anything other than the testament of the pasuk. We don't have any stories up until this point that reflect this, but we're taking the pasuk on its word. Okay, and the Navi continues. Let's pasuk Gimel. Vatovadna ha'asono. So now we get to our first story. Vatovadna ha'asonos l'kish avisha'o. The mules, the asses of Kish, the father of Shaul, went missing. Vayomer Kish al Shaul bino, kach na'itcha es achad mehane'arim. Kish said to his son, "Go take one of the, you know, one of the stable boys, you know, one of the slaves, one of the servants. B'kum lech b'keshus asanos. Get up and go and look for the mules, look for the donkeys." So this immediately, at least for me, recalls Moshe Rabbeinu as described by Chazal, right? Remember running after the sheep, a little shepsel. But I saw Rabbi Amnon Vazak points out that, and he I think said it in the name of Ruth Paz from her essay Bechirato Shal Shaul VeHatamato LeMalchut. So here we have something fascinating about Shaul. He goes looking for the aton, for a donkey. Now, a donkey is the polar opposite of a horse. And the horse is a reflection in Tanakh of human power and strength and self-reliance. Right? All we have to do is think back to the parting of the Red Sea in Yitzias Mitzrayim. Sus v'rochvo rama v'yam. Right? Well, Paro had the greatest chariots, the greatest horsemen, the greatest horses. It's a sign of, certainly in ancient days, of great power and self-reliance. Right? And maybe even wealth. But certainly power and self-reliance. It's like saying today, you know, this country has an F-35, an F-36 jet. You know, this is real power, real raw power. But he's not, and the opposite of that is the Ason, which is humble, and although may have strength in the sense of perseverance, a stubborn mule, but that's, you don't take your donkeys into battle, right? It's the horses that go into battle. The Torah does not describe Paro as Ason v'rachvo ramavayam, right? The donkeys and the chariots, of Paro that were swept away. So here we have yet another description here of Shaul. Shaul is associated with a person, going after the aton, pretty humble act, and associated with faith and amunah, the aton animal. Rather, as opposed to a sus. Vayavor b'har Ephraim, and they went to Har Ephraim looking for these donkeys. He and one of his lads, his servants, vayavor b'har Shalisha v'lo matzo, and they went to the land of Shalisha and they couldn't find them. Vayavor b'har Shalim ba'ayin, it wasn't there. Vayavor b'har Yemini v'lo matzo, then they went to the land of Yemin and they couldn't find them. So he searched multiple places. Now, Hemabo, and this would seem to be maybe another important quality of a king, somebody who has some measure of perseverance. Right? He went to place A, wasn't there, went to place B, went to place C. Hemabo be'eretz Tzuf. They then went to the land of Tzuf. Now, the Sfarya that I have in front of you translates it as the district of the land of Tzuf. Anybody have an English translation in front of them with a different translation than the land of Tzuf?
No, it says the land of Tzuf.
Anybody else? Anybody have a different translation? So Rashi says the land of Tzuf. Tzuf means from Tzofeh, which is to see forward. So this is the land of the Navi, the land of the prophet. Right? This is where Shmuel lives. So they go to the land of Tzuf, Be'eretz Tzuf, V'shol Amar L'naro, Asher Imo, L'cha V'nashuva. Says, you know what, let's go home. Pen yechdal avi min asonos v'dag lanu. Because we've been out so long, He's going to stop being concerned about the donkeys. He's going to be concerned about us. And ostensibly, Shaul doesn't want to make his father nervous. So he shows great kibud avaim in going to look for the donkeys to begin with. He shows great kibud avaim, great character, in being in sensitivity, and being concerned for his father's feelings, that looking one step ahead instead of saying, well, you know, we got to find these donkeys. He says, you know what, maybe we should be a little more concerned about my father's emotional state, and if we're out much longer, he's going to be concerned about us. So that also shows that this is another character trait, another criteria for kingship, being concerned and sensitive to the other. Yeah, go ahead.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I just read a little bit where Tzuf was. It says here that Tzuf was Ramah, the home of Shmuel.
Right.
And it was called Tzuf after Elkanah's grandfather.
Right. So good. So that dovetails with what Rashi says, that Tzuf means the land of seeing forward, right? The land of the prophet. This is the land of Shmuel. Okay, Pasuk Vav. Vayomer lo, hinei na ish Elohim ba'ir hazos, v'ha'ish nichbad kol asher yidaber bo yavo. So he says, this is the land of the ish Elohim, the land of, we know to be Shmuel, the man of God, is in this city. He's an ish nichbad, he's a respectable man. The Mefarshim point out that there were a lot of sort of false prophets around, or false fortune tellers around. But this man, this is the real deal. He's Ish Elokim, he's Ish Nechbad. Kol Yishe Yidaber Bo, Yavo, whatever he says comes true. Ata now, Neil Chasham, Ulay Yagid Lanu Estarkenu Asher Halachnu Aleha. Let's go to him, and maybe he'll be able to advise us about our mission that we're on. So here you have yet another criteria, qualification for king. And that is to consult Ish Elokim, to consult the man of God, especially when you're not sure what's going on, rather than take things in your own hand. You consult, and not just consult anybody. It's good to consult everyone, but it's also, in particular, we consult the Ish Elohim to understand what Hashem wants. So now, who's speaking here? I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Coleman.
The word pen and the word ulai are not the same. Pen is something that you don't want to happen.
Right, lest ulai, it should happen.
And ulai, here you have them, both of them, but the previous pasuk, pen, matonot, and it doesn't fit there. But that's what I think I go on with Ilna said this.
So pen,
something that you want to happen.
Yeah. So right. So in the previous pasuk it's peniach dalaviv. We don't want our father to start worrying about us. And over here he's saying we do want to find the Ish Elokim ulai. So yeah. So now we see, I think, another couple of points here. Number one is that who's doing the talking? In the first pasuk, it's Shaul saying, let's go home. And in the second pasuk, it is the Na'ar who's saying, well, there's an Ish Elohim in the neighborhood. Let's go consult with him. So yet another positive thing about Shaul, he listens to the Na'ar, right? He listens to the Na'ar. In fact, he treats the Na'ar as an equal. He consults, the Na'ar makes the Na'ar is a stable boy, a slave boy, a servant, very low on the totem pole. But he hears his advice and he accepts it. That's a very important quality. Not only that, listen to how he says, this is not the royal we. He doesn't say, let's go back, maybe our father, but maybe my father will be worried about us. He says, let's go back. I mean, maybe my father will be worried about me. He says, let's go back. Maybe my father will be worried about us. Again, bringing this Na'ar on the same level as him. He's saying, my father is going to be concerned about me. He's going to be concerned about you. That's a certain equalizing and leveling of, if not minimizing my station, but raising you up. In other words, I'm not saying that I'm lesser, but I'm raising you up and making you higher. And that's also an important quality of a king. Did somebody want to say something? No? Okay, I thought I heard something. Okay. So
he has respect for people.
Yes, he has great respect for people, and specifically people who are on a lower social station than he. It's one thing to be respectful, you know, to somebody who's on the same social status, but he's respectful to somebody who's on a significantly lower social status. And really intimately so, not just having good manners, but treating him with real dignity. My father is going to be concerned about both of us, listening to his advice. Pasuk Zion, Vayomer Shaul. Shaul says, Lenaro, to his lad, Vihine Nelech Umana Vilaish. He says, wait a minute, what are we going to do? We're going to go. When you give a gift to the king, anybody know the English word I'm thinking of?
Tribute.
Thank you. We have no tribute. You know, where's the tribute? We don't have anything. We don't have the donkeys. We don't have any money in our pocket. What are we going to do? Ki halachem azal mikeleinu. The bread is all gone. Uchura ein lahavil ish Elohim. You know, we can't come empty-handed to such a person, to an ish Elohim. So there again, the lad responds, and he says, "Vayosef anar lano says Shaul, vayomer hinei nimtza biyadi reva shekel kesef. I got a quarter in my pocket. V'nasati l'isha Elohim v'higid lanu estarkeinu. I'll give it to him, and he'll give us advice." And then, before we go on, so this is also fascinating here. Here you have a description of Shaul really having no money in his pocket. I mean, who has no money in their pocket? They're going on some level of journey here. I guess they didn't expect to be out too long. But while a king does have to be a person of wealth, maybe it's good for a king to come from low places, so that way he can appreciate the people and their status. When he assumes the level of, when he assumes the level of leadership, right? In fact, if we think about, before we go on any further, if we think about the criteria of a king as laid out in Sefer Devarim, I can ask us all, if you have a Tanakh in front of you, or a Chumash in front of you, go to Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud Zayin. And let's just read through some of these psukim here. All right, Perek Yud Zayim, Pasuk 14. Ki tavo al ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lach v'rishta v'yashavta ba. When you go into the land, and you will lay conquest to it, and acquire it, and inherit it, and dwell in it, and settle it, and you'll make a king for yourselves, Pasuk 15. So metasim alecha melech, appoint for yourselves a king. Mikherev achecha tasim alach hamelach. You should appoint a king, mikherev achecha, from who's amongst you. So Shaul fits the criteria of mikherev achecha. He's part of the amcha. He's not just amongst you and not a Gentile, but amongst you. He's a man of the people. Mikherev achecha. He's not from the courtier class, and he's not from the elite, in the sense that we use that term. He's amcha, one of us. Lo tucha la sesalecha ish nachri, asher lo achichahu. So clearly he's Jewish. He's got good yichus, and he's amcha. Pasuk 16. Rak lo yarbelo susim. He shouldn't have a lot of horses, right? So what does it mean lo yarbelo susim? Again, as we said before, he has to be a person of emuna and bitachon, not a person who relies on physical might of susim, and indeed that's Shaul. V'lo yashiva sa'a Mitzrayim, and he will not return the people back to Mitzrayim, i.e., to a place of pagan idolatry, which relies on the physical world as the source of power, not on Hashem. V'Hashem amar lachem l'tosifim l'tosifim. Okay, Pasuk 17. V'lo yarbe lo nashim. So we're going to come back to that in a second. You shouldn't have a lot of wives. We'll be back there in a moment. Lo yasur levavo. He shouldn't turn away from Hashem, maybe as a consequence of the women. V'chesef v'zahav lo yarbe lo ma'od. And he shouldn't have a lot of money. So, I mean, a king does have to be wealthy, but clearly it can't be it can't be the focus of his life. And here, and as we pointed out, who's Shaul? Shaul's the guy who's walking around without a nickel in his pocket. So these are criteria that Shaul seems to have that fit beautifully into what it means to be a king. All right. So we're going to come back here in a couple of moments, but let's go back to the psukim in Shmuel. Pasuk 9. So Pasuk 9, we sort of go off on a tangent over here. Lefanim b'Yisrael, ko amar ha'ish b'lechto l'drosh Elohim. Now the Navi starts to define for us what the prophet is. It says, this prophet used to be called a Navi. Now he's called he used to be called a Roe. Now he's called a prophet. Right? Ki l'Navi hayom yikare lefanim haroe. So, put that in brackets. I'm not sure we're going to address that tonight. We might have to pick that up for next year. But close brackets and continue with Pasuk 10. Vayomer Shaul le'na'aro, tov dvarcha. Shaul says to him, all your advice has been quite excellent. Vayelchu el ha'ir asher sham ish Elohim. They go to the city where the ish Elohim Shmuel is found. Hema olim b'ma'ale ha'ir. They go up to the high point of the city, the Hema Matsun Aros, and they found girls, young maidens, Yotzos Lishov Mayim, going out to draw water from the well. The Yomru Lahen, Hayesh Bazero E. And they said to these young women, is there a holy man, is there a seer, is there a prophet nearby? Vata'anena osam, and they responded, the girls responded, the maidens, the young girls, the young women responded to them. Vatomarna, yeshine lefanecha. Yeah, he's right here. Maher ata ki hayom bala'ir. Be quick, he's coming to the city today. Kizevach hayom la'am bavama. It is a day of offering sacrifice on the Mizbeach. When you come into the city, before you see him, before you go up to eat, nobody's going to eat until he comes. They're going on and on and on and on and on. And these talkative young women say to him, conclude by saying, go up and you'll find him there. So I'm not going to read for you inside, but just share with you. There is a medrash cited in the Gemara Brachos, Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, that was a very long answer to a very short question. So if I may go off onto politics for a moment, this Gemara in 2021 might be canceled if it were a better known Gemara. Says the Gemara, why did they make such a long story of it? Why were these women talking so much? The Gemara answered, because women are fond of talking. Women are fond of talking. And for that alone, this Gemara would be canceled. Shmuel said, it was so that they might feast their eyes on Shaul's good looks. The reason that the Navi tells us about these women who were addressing and communicating with Shaul at the well or going out to draw water was to make the point that he was a really good-looking guy and they were talking with him. You know, and they were, if not exactly making advances on him, but they were engaging him. As it is written, from his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Right? He was a good, physically a good-looking, strapping young man. Who wouldn't want him? And so what seems to be the case here, as Rabbi Bazak points out, is that Chazal were aware of the romantic potential in this meeting. And it's against that background that Shaul's ignoring these flirtatious women is, and he stays on his mission, is significant. Right? The next pasuk, which I didn't read in Devarim, so if you go back to Devarim now, Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Yud Zayin, the next criteria of a king in Devarim Yud Zayin, pasuk Yud Zayin, is lo yar belo nashim, right? Shouldn't have a lot of wives. Why? Lo yar belo nashim lo yasur levavo, that his heart should not be turned away from Hashem. So, at least in this concept, in this conception here, what he's saying is here you have a person of power, money, politics. You know, women throw their feet, throw themselves at the feet of such individuals, sometimes in healthy ways and sometimes in very unhealthy ways. But either way, he could have anybody he wants. And clearly, by pointing out, Chazal are pointing out, that why did they make such a long story of it? Because women are fond of talking. And Shmuel said it was so that they might feast their eyes on Shaul's good looks. So we're learning something here about Shaul. That even though he had an opportunity to fall prey to his physical impulses, which were strong and proper and healthy, he was a good, hot-blooded, young man. But he didn't. He stayed the course, and that's consonant with what we just said in Sefer Dvarim: Yolo Yar Belo Nashim. This is not that the Torah is opposed to marriage; it's opposed to a king, somebody of great power, falling prey to the sexual exploits that become available to such an individual. Okay. Furthermore, let's read on a little further. Pasuk 10. Vayomer Shaul. Pasuk. What are we up to here? So pasuk 14. Vayalu ha'ir. They go up to the city. Hema ba'im besoch ha'ir. V'hinei Shmuel yotze l'krasam la'los ha'bama. And Shmuel is coming out to see them. We're going to skim through this a little quickly. Hashem galas, those in Shmuel. Hashem informed Shmuel a day before that Shaul was on his way. Pasuk 16. Ka'es machar shlach elecha ish meretz binyamin u'mashachta l'nagid alami Yisrael. I'm going to send you this person from Shevet Binyamin, and you, Shmuel, you will anoint him as king. And he will be the savior of the people. Ushmuel, and as such, he will fulfill the cry of the people who wanted a king. Ushmuel ra'ah es Shaul, and Shmuel saw Shaul. V'Hashem anahu, hinei ha'ish asher amarti alecha zeh yatzor b'ami. This is the guy who I told you about. Vayiga Shaul Shmuel b'soch hashar v'yomer ha'gidon ali eizeh beis haro'eh. Shaul says to Shmuel, do you know where the house of the Roa is, the house of the prophet, the seer? Vayan Shmuel, he says, today's your lucky day, I'm that guy. Vayomer anochi haro'eh. Alei lefanai habama, v'achalti mi hayom. Come with me to the Mizbeach, you'll eat with me. In the morning, I'll send you off. Everything, you'll be good, well-fed, in good spirits, and all's well. Vila asonos ha'avdos lecha. And even though he didn't say anything about the lost donkeys, those lost donkeys that you're looking for, shloshes hayom, these last 3 days, al tasem eslib chalahem kinimtzel. Don't worry about them, no problem. Ulami kol chemdas Yisrael halol lecha lechol beis avicha, is not all the desire, all that is desired of the Jewish people. It's all yours. It's all yours and belongs to the house of your father. And Shaul responds, and this is the point, at least for us tonight. And Shaul responds, "Vayomer halo ben yamini anochi miktani shifte Yisrael." What are you talking about? I'm a simple guy from a small, lesser tribe in Israel. I have a small family in Shevet Binyamin. Why are you speaking to me like this? Again, we see this this midah of anivus. I'm sorry?
Humility.
He
had humility.
Yes, we see this midah of humility precisely. Vayikach Shmuel Shaul, and Shmuel takes Shaul and his lad. He brings him inside. Vayiten lahem makom barosh akruim vehema kishloshim ish. Vayomer and the story continues. All right, for our purposes tonight, the story really ends over there. So we've seen, just reading the simple pshat of the psukim, somewhat fleshed out by the midrashim and the mefarshim, some really amazing qualities of Shaul that perfectly line up with the criteria, with the conditions necessary for somebody to be chosen to be king, as we just saw in the end of Devarim. And I'll just read, going back to Devarim, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches, the Navi says, I'm sorry, the Torah says, Pasuk Yud Ches, V'haya kishivto al kisei mamlachto, when he sits on the king's throne, he shall write for himself a Torah. V'haysayimo v'karabo kol chayav, he should read this book all the days of his life. L'man yilmad liyiras Hashem elokav, so he should learn to have fear and awe, and also humility before God, to observe his mitzvos. L'vilti rum levavo me'achav, he should not feel himself superior to his countrymen, and as such, l'man yarech yamim mamlachto, he will have a long reign. So these are all this opening story here, which seems to be a story about a guy who went to look for three, you know, for some donkeys. It's a lot more than that. This is really the opening salvo to explain to us why Shaul is appointed to be king. But hidden in these psukim are also another indication. And they are an indication as to why Shaul's reign could also be catastrophic. And I'm not going to read the entire parak again, but I'm going to go through a few things here to show how, even though Shaul seemed to be a perfect fit for the king, already embedded within him was the capability for extraordinary failure. And before we look into those elements that within his personality that could enable great failure here, I think that in itself is a valuable message that we're learning from the Navi. The Navi didn't say, Hashem didn't tell Shmuel, let's say that, Hashem didn't choose perfection. Hashem chose somebody to be king who had the capability for greatness, but also the capability for falling and for failure. And that's an important message, because a king is a servant of the people. A king is the lev ha'am, he's the heart of the people. A king is a role model for the people. Now, who's a good role model? Mr. Perfect or Mr. Could Be Perfect, right? There's a famous letter that that Rav Yitzchak Huttner has published in his collection of letters. I assume they were published posthumously. And one of the letters he has is to a student who is suffering from some measure of depression. What was his depression? He felt that, you know, how can he measure? How can he really ever measure up? The Torah is so vast, the criteria for success is too high. And Rav Huttner, in this letter, tells the young boy or the student, says, Your problem is that you're measuring yourself up against your rabbis and teachers who are, you know, finished products in a certain sense. I mean, nobody's a real finished product, but finished products in a certain sense. But he says to his student, he says, how many times do you think the Chafetz Chaim failed before the Chafetz Chaim perfected his ability not to speak Lashon Hara? He says, you want to compare yourself to the Chafetz Chaim, you're comparing yourself to the Chafetz Chaim when he was already the Chafetz Chaim. You have to look at yourself as the Chafetz Chaim, you know, before he was the Chafetz Chaim. He was somebody, and he had to struggle. Who knows how many times he failed before he reached that level. And that's, and just as a meta point, the big point, I think, of this parak here, we did the criteria for what it means to be a king and how Shaul really meets those criteria in so many beautiful ways. But what we're going to see now in our remaining time, and I'm not going to spend 50, it took me 50 minutes to get here. It's going to take us 10 minutes to do the rest. But we'll see a few things here to see where Shaul was capable for extraordinary failure. So let's go back and look at a few of these psukim here. Hold on a second.
Rabbi, excuse me.
Yes,
for,
go ahead.
Asking, interrupting.
Go ahead.
But the fact is, with Shaul, wouldn't this be like one of the character traits of the tribe of Benjamin was shtika, with excessive humility? We find it in Benjamin. We found it in Rachel. Now, could we say that Shaul is sort of like a composite of Benjamin and Rachel and later on Mordechai, who basically has this, even Yosef, where he can fight off his impulses? So couldn't Shaul basically be a composite, and that's why they stress Yimini, because this could have been the character traits of the tribe of Benjamin.
Yeah, well, for sure that Binyamin, and the as the son of Rachel, as the younger son of Rachel, does exhibit that, and I think that is definitely the case. All right, now so let's go back to a couple of things here. Let's go back. We said that he was Bachor Vatov. So Bachor Vatov, we said, means he was, this spiritual, great, young man. But as we said, even when we read the pasuk initially, according to the Malbim, Bachor also meant that he had, great passion, physical passions, and that is a significant challenge. So there, right there, his physical passions, red hot blood, not just for sexual impulses. Red hot blood can also be a midah of anger, and in fact, we know later on that Shaul did have this red hot bloodedness, to him, that was a bit of his undoing. Similarly, or another thing, let's read that pasuk again about how he had great kibudav. Go to pasuk hey. I'm sorry, pasuk vav. No, hey. Hey, ma bober et sufa, shol amar lana aro. He says to his lad, l'chav in ashuva, let's go back. Penyechtal avi min ha'osonos v'dag lanu. Maybe my father will cease being concerned about the donkeys and will be concerned about us. So, what does that mean? He will cease to be concerned about the donkeys, and instead he'll be concerned about us. Read another way, you could say that Shaul is really concerned about the donkeys. In other words, the donkeys was really significant, and his father, will be distracted from the real problem. And the real problem here is the donkeys. If he's worried about us, he's not going to be able to be worried about the donkeys, about the business, about the money, about the finances. That's like a little bit of you know, of misplaced, you know, values, I think one could suggest. So not so much about he was, you know, concerned that that he was going to be worried about them, but that he wouldn't be sufficiently concerned about keeping up the family business about the you know, about the usum. And read the next pasuk.
Maybe it shows also not dveikut b'matara, but he gives it up. He doesn't finish the job. What happened later with Amalek? He doesn't finish. He started the job and he does it. And then he says, "Okay, that's enough. I don't have to finish."
Right.
Find it or not, we don't.
100%. I agree with you, and I think that that's the second point. He says, "Lechavena shuva, let's go home." Right? Let's go home already? You know, it's true that he did look in a few different places, but let's go home? I mean, if you're really so concerned about, you know, you got to figure out how to get the job done. Maybe he'll go home and send the Na'ar to continue on his way. Maybe send the Na'ar home and he'll continue to go on his way. But this seems to be like a pretty quick retreat, as Kalman pointed out. And look at the next pasuk. Then the Na'ar responds and says, "Listen, there's a man of God over here." So that seems like it's a good thing. Shaul wants to consult with a man of God. But as Kalman points out, look forward and see what happens with Amalek. You know, the people pushed him this way, he went this way. The people pushed him that way, they go that way. Here, he says, "Nashuva, let's go home." And the Na'ar says, "Well, let's do this." He says, "Okay, let's do that." It's like he seems to, you know, the last person who speaks is the person who he listens to. So again, I'm not saying that this is overtly going on, but you can see here the capability reading these psukim one way for great success, but also the possibility for catastrophic failure. Additionally, let's see here. That pasuk that I said that we put in parentheses. So pasuk tes says lefanim of vayomer he named him tzabi adi reva shekel. The Na'ar says to him, "I got a quarter in my pocket. Let's go meet the man of God, who used to be called a roeh, and now is called a navi." So, are these synonyms, a roeh and a navi? What exactly is the? Why is the navi telling us that originally this used to be called a roeh? Now this is what we call a navi. This pasuk is so problematic that the in another way, in that it lends credence to the question of who authored Sefer Shmuel. So Shmuel written at this time, the Gemara in Bava Basra says that the Navi was written now. But this pasuk says, well, the man of God used to be called a roeh. This Shmuel, this man of God used to be called a roeh. Now, all these years later, we call him a Navi. So this pasuk and the Mefarshim struggle with how to understand this pasuk in light of who actually authored and when the book of Shmuel was authored. But that's not my topic tonight. My topic is, what does it mean? What is the difference between a roeh and a navi? So I'm going to share my screen with you. Roeh and a navi. Okay. And let's see here. Let's just go down. 1 second. Okay. So here we go. This is the Malbim speaking again. So he says the following: Kosev haSefer Yodienu Bal Nispalei Eich Hayazeh Sheal Shor VeAl Chamor VeAl Kol Aveda Hayu Holchim Al Aroeh. If you're going to ask yourself the question, you know, if you had something that you needed to find that from the lost and found, would you call up Rav Moshe Feinstein and say, "Have you seen it?" Or would you call up the lost and found? So you're going to go to the Ish Elokim. You're going to go to the Ish Elokim. This is the man of God, and you're going to say to him, "Listen, you know, I lost my car keys. Can you help me find my car keys? Can you access your spiritual dimension of the nether world, of this ether world, of this spiritual, cosmic, Kabbalistic, you know, communion with God to help me find my car keys, right? I personally, Eitan Tokayer, I could personally use a Roeh pretty much every morning, right? Where did I put my keys? Where did I put my phone? Where did I put, you know, somehow between the time that I go to sleep at night and the time that I wake up in the morning, everything gets lost, right? So I could personally use a Roeh. But, you know, it seems a little ridiculous and shocking that they would use Shmuel as their personal, you know, as their personal lost and found. Continues the Malbim, v'hayunosin lo b'scharo kesef, right? And they would pay him for the service. This is a fee for service, Navi. Uba'ad rias panav to shirak ki lulei haya hamina ki kein lo haya shol omer kein lanaro, and they wouldn't go there empty handed. So apparently, this was the standard practice. Mashalomatzino kazos b'chol hanaviim. We don't find this in all the future Navim. We have it by Shaul. You don't have anybody going to Yirmiyah and asking him where to find the car keys, and I'll give him and I'll pay you a little bit of money. Nobody goes to Yeshaya. Nobody goes to whoever, you know, fill in the Navi. Chezkel. So what exactly? Elisha, Eliyahu. I mean, maybe they'll ask to heal somebody. Maybe they'll ask to revive them from the dead. Okay, that's like a pretty serious request. But to ask him where to find my car keys, where to find my cell phone, where did I leave my laundry list? You know, this is what you're going to ask the Navi to do. So the Malbim says, we don't find this in future generations. Omer ki yesh havdel bein hanavi bedor acharon uvein haroa lifnim. A Roeh and a Navi are not synonymous. They are two different. Two different titles for two different types of spiritual people, Ish Elokims, or Ishei Elokim. Shehanavi nikra shmo al shem dibrosa v'tochachosav. A Navi is called a Navi because he is bringing forth the word of God to admonish the people in order to better them. That's the role of a Navi. Al ki Hashem diber bo, God spoke to him. Vayishalcheu lahagid la'am pisham ulevesi Yaakov chatasam. He's there to tell the people what they're doing wrong and how to do it better. V'lo shalchu b'malachos Hashem. He's not going as some type of, you know, messenger of Hashem. Rak l'tzorach in yanei haklal. This is for the, you know, for the purpose for the people as a whole. V'hagoy kulo, on the nation as a whole. V'lo chal ruach hakodesh alav laharos dvarim pratiim hanugim aleichidim. A navi isn't shown private, personal things about one person or another person. This is not the role of a Navi. Aval haroeh, but a seer, nikra b'shmo, is called as such, al shem shehaya tzofeh biruach hakodesh. He would see with the spiritual enlightenment of Hashem that dwells upon him, kol hadvarim ha'havayim, everything in the present, v'ha'asidim, and in the future, v'gam inyonei ha'yechidim u'pratehem, and even things about the individual and his personal individual specifics of his life. Ve'al kein, and therefore, and this is why I'm bringing it up, folks, al kein hayu barchim min hanavi. People would run away from a Navi. Asher haya tamid magid pesho machiach alavavon. Who wants to speak to the school disciplinarian? Nobody. Even if the school disciplinarian is important. People ran away from the Navi. But people would run after the Roeh. Because the Roeh is just giving you stuff. Things that are less significant, like, you know, where you left your car keys, maybe that's very significant. And, you know, somebody's sick, and maybe a bracha for children, or, you know. V'hayunosnim lo teshura umatan ba'avur shes bodeid la'ayin al inyaneim. And they would give him, this is like the source for a Chassidish Rebbe in a kvittel. They would give him a kvittel. They would give him, they would give him a pidyon, Anybody familiar with that? Chassidim give the Rebbe a pidyon. They give him a money. And, you know, so here they give the Roeh, they give him some money, they give him some food, they give him some something. And the Roeh then helps them with their, you know, with what they need. It's a very different function than the Navi. The Navi there is to give you Musar and Tochacha. And this is what it says. In the olden days, this is what they would, you know, they would go to the Roeh. They would go and seek things from the Roeh. Everybody had something to ask. The Navi is on a lower level than the Roeh. The Roeh was able to connect with the divine and help the person with ABC. The Navi is there to provide. The Navi is the spiritual advisor who is there to help you hear hard truths. Right? That's what he's there for. It's like the difference between a good therapist and these spiritual advisors. What do they call them on late night TV, Lahavdil? You know, that they, you know, whatever they're called. You know, you get all these spiritual advisors and they'll tell you, you know, you're gonna find your love, you're gonna find your match, you're gonna have children, you're gonna be happy, you're gonna have money, you're gonna, everything is gonna be good. Right, that's a spiritual advisor, right? A good therapist helps you to hear things that are hard for you to hear. Lahavdil, on a spiritual level, right? The Roeh was able to help people in all types of ways that they needed, that they sought, and he was able to assist in addition to helping them spiritually. But the role of the Navi was to be the purveyor of hard truths. Now, with that, let's go back to our Navi over here, and with this we'll conclude. Shaul had many wonderful traits that made him perfect to be king. But we saw he had some difficult ones also. He doesn't follow through. He listens to what people say, even the Na'ar, just a Na'ar. He listens to what he says instead of following his gut, what he thinks is right. He's hot-blooded. And Pasuk Tes, Lifanim, he says, let's go to the Roeh. Lifanim b'Yisrael, ko amar ha'ish b'lachto l'drosh alokim l'chuvin alcha ad ha'roeh. This is what people used to do. They would go to the Roeh. As opposed to the Navi. What we today, when we go to a Navi. Right? Ki la Navi hayom, yikare lifanim ha'roeh. What's the? I told you to put this in parentheses and brackets before. What's it doing here? So Mefarshim all, you know, say that this has impact on understanding the historicity of the chronology of when this was written. But I think there's another point here, and it's telling us something about Shaul. Shaul was a person who wanted a Roeh. He didn't want a Navi. He wanted to figure out, you know, how to get what he wanted to get, to find his keys, to find this, to get a bracha for that, to give a pidyon and get something. But he wasn't really prepared to hear the hard truths. And that's something that is an underlying or a part of Shaul's underbelly. He had many, many, many wonderful traits that could lead him to extraordinary success as a king. He was able to seek advice and to talk to people and hear things from people lower than him. But there's a flip side to these things. And the flip side to these things is ultimately could be the cause for catastrophe. So I think the takeaway for this parak is something specific about Shaul, and then a broader message about Melucha. And the specific thing about Shaul is that Shaul could have gone either way. And we saw that Shaul had the capacity for greatness, but unfortunately, he didn't seize that capacity and ultimately was led by his lesser qualities. And that led to great catastrophe. But the bigger point here is that that is precisely the type of person that needs to be king, because that is us. And the king has to reflect us. None of us is perfect. And we all have to see ourselves in the Melech and understand that while we have the capacity for failure, we also have the capacity for greatness. Just as Shaul had the capacity for greatness, but unfortunately seized his capacity for failure. So that's it. That's the beginning of Perek Tes, understanding the criteria for kingship as well as for catastrophe. All right, any thoughts or comments anybody would like to share? Floor is open.
I have a question. Can I ask you, isn't Shaul the one who let the king of Amalek live?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other?
I can see a point here. Let me ask
you. Rabbi.
Yeah, go Rabbi, one second. One second. Go ahead, Yael Kalman.
I want to see the difference between Ru'e and Navi. Navi is a person who... I'm looking at Shmuel. If Shmuel wrote it, he wants to say, I'm not a Navi. Navi is me, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I know what's going on in heaven. I know everything there. Ru'e is somebody down to earth. He can I don't know, but all the small nonsense. Shmuel is humble here by saying, I am a Ru'e and I'm not a Navi. Mm-hmm. I'm not an Avi.
Right.
Hashem, yes, it's true. That's number one. But I'm you know, I'm only a Ro'e.
Okay.
But in addition, it's a hint. How Ro'e is a good prophet. This is everything. Maybe sometimes he tells me about, but he is a Ro'e.
Okay.
Maybe he wanted to teach the people that Hashem is a Ro'e.
Right.
So he called himself away. I'm a representative of Hashem.
Right. So instead of seeing this pasuk as a commentary on Shmuel, on Shaul, you're seeing it as a commentary on Shmuel. Very nice. Okay, somebody else had something you wanted to say? Just to identify yourself before you go on. Yeah, go on.
Rabbi,
yeah,
who's
speaking?
Gila.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask you, please. First of all, thank you for an enlightening, inspiring class. It really resonates with us. I wanted to ask you, when Shaul going through this whole, in a way, like at the